Hold on, Will. Just hold on, damn it.
Will Bramlett sat hunched over in his saddle in obvious pain. He held onto the horn somehow and kept himself from falling off. There was no telling how long he would be able to make it, though.
Just a little while longer, Will. We'll be at our place and he can rest.
I'm hit real bad, Chris.
I don't know what the hell happened back there, Will. Come on, Chris, think. What happened? I don't care. You pushed us too far. I ain't backing down. What the hell? Will!
Oh, God, Chris, I'm hit.
Where the hell is all that gunfire coming from?
It's the Slash D, man.
It can't be, Will. I hear rifles. They're all packing nothing but sidearms.
Chris, this is bad. I'm gonna pass out.
Hang on, Will. I'm gonna get you out of here right now.
It had taken Kane a good amount of time to hoist Will up into his saddle and start moving away from the gunfire. The Slash D-men didn't make any move to stop them either. He couldn't be sure about it, but he had gotten the impression that somebody else was shooting, that the Slash D cowboys were being fired upon too, that there had been men under the trees along the creek and that they had been shooting at anything that moved. That didn't make any sense, but that was the way it had looked to Kane in those brief moments filled with gun thunder and fear.
I've been thinking about it, Will. Maybe somebody else jumped the Slash D men. Maybe it was Rollins and his crew, or some of the other small ranchers.
Nobody knew we were gonna be there, Chris. It doesn't make sense.
I know, Will. I know.
You got bigger things to worry about anyway.
Yeah, McDonald recognized me.
And he'll likely go to the law.
I'm not going back to jail. They'll have to come kill me.
Kane had done time on a rustling charge a few years back. Fact of the matter was, he had stolen those cows and deserved the sentence. But he didn't care about that. He had gone straight ever since. Until tonight.
Chris. God. Chris, it hurts. You got to do something.
I'm trying, Will. I'm gonna get you back to the ranch. And then I'll go get the doc.
Doc won't do me any good. I'm shot in the belly. You know I'm a goner.
The hell I do. Don't talk like that. You're gonna be fine.
Chris, don't get yourself killed over this. I ain't worth it. The spread ain't worth it.
Oh, Will, if risking your life for a friend and defending a simple piece of ground ain't worth it, then nothing is.
Of course, Blanket Creek was more than a simple piece of ground. Kane knew that as he and Will rode up to the double log cabin with a dog trot in between the two sides. The fella who had owned this spread before them had built the cabin and done a good job of it, erecting a sturdy structure. But he had wanted to move on and had been more than willing to sell his place to a couple of cowboys who had been saving up their wages for just such a spread. Old man Dugan hadn't been happy when Kane and Bramlett told him they were quitting to start a ranch of their own.
Who's there?
Kane recognized the voice of the stocky young cowboy he and Bramlett had hired a couple of weeks earlier.
Give me a hand. Will's been shot.
Let's get him inside.
The moonlight fell on his fair hair and open, friendly face. Kane and Bramlett knew him only as Ty, but his real name was Tyler Beaumont. Frank Morgan, Ed McDonald, and Pitch Carey followed the same trail they had been on earlier before they had gotten sidetracked by the shootout along the creek. Carey held Dave Osmond on the horse in front of him. The riders moved fast but didn't rush. They didn't want the wounded man jolted around any more than was necessary. In less than a half hour after the brief gun battle, they came to a gate in the barbed wire fence. Two men stood there inside the wire holding rifles.
Brad! Joe, it's us! Open the gate! Dave's been shot! Ranch house is only a couple of miles away now. Pitch, how's Dave doing?
He came to enough to cuss a little, but I think he's passed out again.
All right, just hang on to him. Morgan, I'm riding ahead to warn him at the house that we've got an injured man. Just follow the trail. If you start to go wrong, Pitch can steer you back where you're supposed to go.
Don't worry about us. I can find the place.
McDonald nodded and then heeled his horse into a gallop. The drumming hoofbeats faded into the night as he rode toward the ranch house as fast as he could. Frank and Pitch Carey followed at a more deliberate pace. A few minutes later, the riders came in sight of some lights up ahead. As Frank watched, more lamps were lit, and he took that as a sign that McDonald had reached the ranch headquarters and roused everyone there.
Careful with them, boys. Don't jostle them too much. Easy. Get him inside.
Somebody help Pitch down. He's been hit, too.
I'm all right.
Doc Yannis will need to take a look at that leg of yours, too, Pitch. You're Morgan?
That's right.
I'm Earl Dugan. Ed told me you fought side by side with my boys during the ruckus tonight. I'm obliged to you for that, Morgan.
Well, those bushwhackers were shooting at me, too. Only seemed fair that I shoot back at them. Anyway, I was glad to help out.
Well, Ed said you had a run-in with Al Rollins and Brownwood, too. You didn't kill him, though.
Didn't quite seem necessary.
You may regret that. I don't believe in leaving a snake alive. I'd hate to think I was bit by the same rattler I could have stomped when I had the chance.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Come on in, Morgan. I've already told the cook to rustle some grub for you and the other fellas. Told him I'd cut his pigtail off if he didn't hurry it up, damn his black Chinaman's heart. Care for a drink, Morgan?
I wouldn't mind. It's been sort of a thirsty night.
Nothing like nearly getting ventilated to make a man appreciate the pleasures of life, is there? But I reckon you'd know that, being the one they call the Drifter and all.
So you know who I am?
Sure. I reckon most folks west of the Mississippi know who Frank Morgan is. And plenty of them east of there do, too. Well, all I've got is whiskey.
That'll do.
Here you are, Morgan. Here's to your health. Good whiskey is one of the great pleasures of life. Another?
No thanks.
Ed tells me you're looking for work.
That's right.
You know, Morgan, I've heard a lot about you, but I don't recollect ever hearing that you sold your gun.
I don't. You got a good sized spread here. Thought maybe you could use another hand. I cowboyed when I was a kid up in Parker County.
Am I hearing right? Frank Morgan, the famous gunfighter, wants to hire on as a 40-a-month cowpuncher?
I reckon you could call it getting back to my roots.
I reckon I call it crazy. Nobody's gonna believe you hired on as a cowhand, no matter what I tell them.
I don't have any control over what people believe or don't believe.
I suppose that's true. Yeah. You gave my boys a hand tonight. I owe you for that. If you want a riding job, Morgan, you got it. But you're smart enough to figure it out. There's trouble brewing in these parts. You could find yourself smack dab in the middle of a shooting war.
I'll take my chances.
Smack dab in the middle of this range war was exactly where Morgan wanted to be, because that was the place where he was most likely to find Tyler Beaumont.
Good Lord! I've got him!
Take it easy with him. He's got a bullet in his belly.
Damn!
Like most frontiersmen, Beaumont knew what it meant when a man was gut shot. Almost without fail, it was a death sentence. Only very rarely did anyone recover from such a wound.
Get that lamp on. What happened?
Some Slash D men jumped us.
What were you doing over by the Slash D?
We went down there to teach Dugan a lesson. It's not right what he and the others are doing to Al Rollins.
You tried to cut Dugan's fence?
That's right. He had it coming.
Beaumont wasn't going to argue with that. He rode for the KB spread, or so everyone thought. So what the bosses said went. They hadn't wanted to hire him at first, even though their herd had grown large enough so that they really needed an extra hand. They didn't have enough money to pay regular wages, but Beaumont had agreed to work for his keep and $10 a month. That was less than a third of a cowhand's usual pay. Kane and Bramlett had probably wondered why Beaumont had accepted such a proposition, but he made a good hand, and they had decided they were lucky to have him. More importantly, as far as Beaumont was concerned, he was now on the inside of the loose-knit organization of small ranchers and farmers who were opposed to the way the big ranchers had fenced off huge sections of land in Brown County.
I thought you'd gone to town and Will was riding night herd.
I didn't know we had to clear things with you. Last time I checked, you still worked for us.
I'm sorry, Chris. You're right. I was out of line.
Forget it. You know anything about doctoring?
I've seen plenty of bullet holes patched up. I can take a look at Will if you want.
You do that. I'm gonna go get a fresh horse and light a shuck for Brownwood. Will needs Doc Yandis.
I'll clean the wound and try to get the bleeding stopped.
Thanks.
Don't you want some coffee or something to eat before you go?
No time.
Beaumont looked at the man on the bunk and pushed the sleeves of the long underwear higher on his arms. He had his work cut out for him, just keeping Will Bramlett alive until Kane got back from Brownwood with the doctor. Despite the lateness of the hour, Brownwood's saloon still had plenty of customers. And one of them was bound to know where Doc Yantis was, Chris Kane thought, as he reined his horse to a halt in front of Ace McAlvey's palace. He would start there. He opened the door and went inside. Annie's face lit up as she looked over and saw Kane. He knew she liked him, probably because he made a point of always being polite to her. He might have felt the same way toward her if he'd had time for such things. He didn't hold it against her that she was a whore. After all, he was a convicted rustler, an ex-jailbird.
Hello, Chris. It's been a long time since I saw you last.
Yeah, I've been busy. Have you seen Doc Yunus this evening?
No, I haven't seen him. Is something wrong?
I just need to find him, that's all.
Why don't you stay and have a drink with me? Then you can go look for Doc.
Sorry, I don't have time.
Well, don't be. Oh, Mr. McAlvey.
Annie? Was that Chris Kane who just left out of here?
Yeah, it was.
He hasn't been to town much lately. I reckon he got to missing you, Annie.
No, he didn't. He just came in here looking for Doc Yantis. He wanted to know if the doc had been in tonight.
What does Kane need a doctor for?
He didn't say.
Must not have been for him. He looked healthy enough.
He didn't seem to be hurt.
Well, I suppose we'll hear about it sooner or later if it was anything important.
I suppose so.
Why don't you come back to the office with me? I could use some help with the books. You're the smartest girl I know.
Annie was smart enough to know that her talents didn't lie in bookkeeping. That wasn't what McAlvey wanted help with. But he was the boss, so she had to do pretty much whatever he said.
All right, Mr. McAlvey. I'd be glad to.
Call me Ace. I've told you that before.
Sure. Ace.
Brownwood had only four saloons, and they were all fairly close together. It didn't take long for Chris Kane to visit all of them. Unfortunately, he got the same lack of results in each place. No one had seen Doc Yantis. There was only one logical choice left to Kane, and that was the marshal's office. Kiever or his deputy, Skeet Harlan, might know where Doc Yantis was. They may have heard about the ruckus near the fence line and Kane's involvement in it, but it was a gamble that he would have to take.
Who's there?
Chris Kane. I'm looking for Doc Yandis.
What do you need the doc for, Kane? You hurt?
No, but my partner, Will Bramlett, is. He was cleaning his gun and it went off. Accidentally shot himself in the belly.
Shot in the belly, eh? Might as well forget about Doc. Go roust out the Undertaker. By tomorrow, Bramlett will need planting.
Just tell me where the hell Doc Yantis is, Harlan.
He's out at the Slash D. Styles Warren rode in to fetch him a while ago. Seems that Dave Osmond and Pitch Carey got themselves shot earlier tonight. There was some sort of dust-up along Dugan's fence line, there by the Steps Creek.
I hadn't heard anything about that.
From what Warren said, a lot of powder got burned and a lot of lead slung. You sure you don't know anything about that, Kane?
I told you I didn't.
Oh, funny thing. Warren heard Ed McDonald call your name just before the shooting started. Are you saying that McDonald's a liar?
Maybe he was just mistaken.
Hold on.
I don't have time.
You got plenty of time. Bramlett's as good as dead, and you know it. That'll save the county the expense of hanging him.
You got no right to say that. Will didn't do anything.
Fence cutting is a crime, you know.
Not a hanging offense. Anyway, Will never cut a fence in his life.
How about attempted murder?
We didn't shoot anybody. It was somebody else.
Oh, so you admit you and Bramlett was there, do you? I thought as much. You get your hands up, boy. You're under arrest.
I haven't committed any crimes in town. You don't have any right to arrest me.
I know the sheriff's looking for you. The marshal and me like to cooperate with our fellow lawmen. I'll just take your gun and march over to the sheriff's office. He can lock you up in that nice new jail of his.
I'm not going to jail.
Well, you did time before, I hear. Served a stretch for rustling. You go away for a lot longer this time. I don't know how bad those slash D cowboys are hurt either. If one of them was to die, then you know, you'd swing for murder, Kane.
No! We didn't shoot anybody, I tell you!
You gonna drop your gun and put your hands up, or am I gonna have to drop you?
Harlan was fast on the draw. But Kane was no slouch, and he knew it. He might beat Harlan in a fair fight. But even though he was convinced he was in the right, if he gunned down a lawman, he would be on the run for the rest of his life. Maybe if he surrendered, he would at least have a chance to tell his side of the story.
Damn it! I told you to drop that gun and elevate!
You bastard! I'll kill you!
Doc Yantis was a small man with bushy gray eyebrows over deep-set brown eyes. He reminded Frank Morgan a little of a horned owl. He wasn't Brown County's only sawbones, but he was the best at his profession and the one that folks relied on. When the doctor came out of the room where Dave Osmond had been taken, he had his coat off and his sleeves rolled up and was carrying his medical bag.
Where's the other patient?
Sitting in the kitchen with his leg propped up. How's Dave?
I'm reasonably confident that he'll be all right. He lost a lot of blood and the bullet nicked his collarbone, but it missed his lungs. That's the main thing I was worried about. He's going to be flat on his back for a good long spell, though, while he recovers.
That's not a problem. He can take as long as he needs. That Chinaman of mine will look after him.
Wing's a good man and quite intelligent, despite the fact that you persist in acting as if he's nothing but a coolie, Earl. I'll have a talk with him about what needs to be done for Dave.
I'm obliged, Doc.
Now, let me have a look at Pitch.
I better go take care of my horse and dog, then settle in at the bunkhouse. Guess there'll be at least one empty bunk, since Osmond is staying in here.
Well, there's more than that. I don't have a full crew right now. Fall roundup's not for a couple of weeks yet. I'll take on more hands then. Morgan, don't you want to know more about what's going on around here? I'm not sure you know what you're getting yourself into.
I know there's trouble between the big ranchers on one side and small ranchers and farmers on the other.
That's right. Why don't you sit down? I've got some good cigars.
Sounds fine.
Have a seat.
Well, you're certainly a good judge of cigars.
I like quality, Morgan. Always have.
How did all this mess get started, Mr. Dugan?
Yeah, 5 years ago, Brown County was all free range. Me and Calhoun, Wilcox, the Coggan brothers, and all the other cattlemen in the county worked together. We had a couple of roundups every year, one over on Blanket Creek in the eastern part of the county, and the other along Jim Ned Creek to the west. Every outfit was repped, and the reps kept track of the gather for their brand.
Sounds like common practice to me.
It was. And it worked just fine as long as there were only 10 or a dozen ranches in the county. But then new fellas started moving in. And before you know it, everywhere you looked there was some little greasy sack outfit calling itself a ranch. They didn't have any land and damn few cattle, but they wanted to think that they were just as good as me and the others, who'd been here 20 years. Us who fought the Comanche and the fever and spilled our blood and put our loved ones in the ground.
For a moment, he couldn't bring himself to go on. And Frank sat quietly, waiting for the rancher to bring under control the emotions and the memories that threatened to overwhelm him.
Even some of the hands who rode for me and the others quit, decided to start spreads of their own.
Can't blame a man for being ambitious.
You can when he wants to latch his ambitions onto somebody else's coattails. Anyway, it wasn't just them. It was the farmers, too, especially in the eastern half of the county. Any piece of halfway decent ground that didn't have a so-called ranch on it had some sodbuster trailing along behind a mule and a plow. Those of us who'd been here for a while looked around and saw that we were going to have to do something. Otherwise, we'd be crowded out.
So you got legal title to the range you'd been grazing all these years and bought some barbed wire.
Damned right we did. Those pissants thought the county would stay free range so they could run their cows wherever they pleased. Now, they found out different. Let me tell you.
And when they found out, they didn't like it.
Not even a little bit. Hell, they acted like they had a right to our grass, like it was our duty to feed their cows. Some of which same had probably been rustled from the big outfits to start with.
But you don't know that.
Well, I'll admit there hasn't been a lot of rustling. At least not that anybody can prove. I've lost stock, and so the other fellas, but not enough to cause a problem. What causes the problem is the way those bastards cut our fences and run their cows on our range.
I was talking to Ed McDonald on the way out here. From what he told me, an hombre like Al Rawlins is in a bad spot. He's not a free-range man, right? He owns his spread fair and square. It's just not very big.
That's right. Rawlings has got clear title to his range. Only because he beat me to it, though.
Yeah, but he bought the land. Now he can't use it, though, because he's closed in on all sides but fences.
Now that's not our lookout. That's Rawlings' problem, and nobody else's.
Frank puffed on the cigar for a moment as he thought about everything Dugan had said. He could tell that the cattleman was in no mood to budge in his beliefs. The way Dugan saw it, he and the other big ranchers were the ones being wronged, and they were doing what they could to protect their interests.
Who's Chris Kane?
Kane's one of those ambitious cowboys I was talking about. He used to ride for Slash D. I gave him a job, even though he was a jailbird.
What did he do time for?
Rustling. Two-bit stuff. He was honest enough to tell me about it when he asked me for a job. I'll give him that.
You hired him even though he's a convicted rustler?
Well, I believe in giving a man a second chance if I think he deserves it. Kane said he'd gone straight and just wanted some honest work. I gave it to him.
Did he make a good hand?
Yeah, he made a good hand. I don't have any complaints about the work he did while he was riding for me. But then he decided that he wanted a place of his own. Him and another fellow who worked for me named Bramlett drew their time and went in as partners. They put down some money on a little spread up on Blanket Creek. I didn't begrudge them that. But then they had to go and throw in with Rawlings and the rest of that fence-cutting bunch.
When did the fence-cutting start?
A couple of years ago, but only on a small scale at first. The law knew who was responsible and brought them up on charges. But the grand jury wouldn't bring in an indictment. That just made them think they could get away with even more. Ever since, it's been getting worse and worse. Shots have been fired on both sides. I don't reckon it's ever gonna stop until...
Until the big outfits get together and wipe out the smaller ones. Isn't that what you're gonna say?
A man's got a right to defend what's his. Cutting our fences is bad enough. But when they start bushwhacking our men, like they did tonight...
Those shots didn't come from the men who were fixing to cut the fence.
You know they had to be some of the same bunch, though. It was a trap, dammit. They meant for somebody to see him and try to stop him. A bunch of the polecats were hidden in the trees along the creek, just waiting for you.
That seems a little far-fetched, don't you think? If Ed McDonald hadn't happened to be in just the right place at the right time to see the flare of the match as one of the men lit a cigarette, we would have passed on by without ever knowing what was going on.
Well, now that you know the situation... You still want to sign on, Morgan? You may say you're not hiring out your gun, but there's a mighty good chance there'll be more shooting before it's all over.
You're not saying that you think the possibility of some shooting worries me, are you?
Hell no. I know you've been in more corpse and cartridge sessions than I can count. But I know you're a strong-willed hombre, too. Is it going to bother you if you have to shoot at Rawlings and the rest of that bunch?
I've already swapped lead with Rawlings once tonight, remember?
Yeah, that's true.
I've got this informal rule. If anybody shoots at me, I shoot back.
But not always to kill.
Not always. Just usually.
All right, then. If you want a job on the Slash D, you're hired.
I guess I better get out to the bunkhouse now.
Those boys are going to be mighty excited to have the famous Frank Morgan living right there in the bunkhouse with them. They're liable to pester you with a bunch of questions. I hear tell you killed 1,000 men, not counting Injuns.
If all the stories they tell about me were true, there wouldn't be anybody left alive west of the Mississippi. I'd have already shot them all by now.
Well, try not to disappoint them too much with the truth. Folks need their heroes. Even cowboys.
Beaumont sat beside the bunk and listened to Will Bramlett's hoarse, ragged breathing. Bramlett was unconscious. He hadn't come around while Beaumont was cleaning the wound in his belly and bandaging it as best he could. His efforts weren't going to do any good, Beaumont knew. The bullet was still inside Bramlett, and there was no telling how much damage it had done to the man's guts. Beaumont wished that Kane and Bramlett hadn't taken it into their heads to go cut Earl Dugan's fence tonight. He had been working his way into their confidence, and he figured that before much longer, he would have been fully accepted into the circle of small ranchers and farmers opposed to Dugan and all the other rich cattlemen. Then he could have tried to persuade them that fence cutting and bushwhacking weren't going to work. They needed to try to take their disputes to court and try to settle them there, rather than with wire cutters and six guns. Hell, the West was supposed to be civilized now, wasn't it? Beaumont wished Victoria was here. She wouldn't tell him what to do. She wouldn't think of interfering with his work. But she would listen to what he had to say and help him think through everything. She was mighty good at that. Just talking things out with her allowed him to see them much more clearly. For example, she had talked him out of going after Frank Morgan and trying to kill him.
It's not his fault. He didn't make that man come after him.
But he did. He did it just by being Frank Morgan.
He can't help who he is. Any more than you can help who you are.
And who's that? I'm not sure I know anymore.
You're the man who loves me. Even if I have to spend the rest of my life in a chair. And bitterness and self-pity don't suit you, Tyler Beaumont. They don't suit you at all.
As the weeks had turned into months, they had grown more accustomed to her limitations. The pain of what she had lost was still with them, of course, but time had dulled it somewhat. With the resilience that was bred into the human animal, they had adapted.
I got word from Captain McDowell this morning that I'm being sent to Brown County to try to get to the bottom of some trouble down there.
Oh. How long will you be gone?
It could be quite a while, Victoria. But I'm thinking about refusing the assignment so I can be here with you.
That would mean resigning from the Rangers, wouldn't it?
Probably.
All you ever wanted to be was a Ranger, Tyler. You can't just walk away from it. It may sound a little foolish, but that's your destiny.
You really think there is such a thing?
I know there is. It was our destiny to be together, wasn't it?
He couldn't argue with that. So Tyler had come to Brown County. And now here he sat beside a dying man, not knowing what else to do. He wished Kane would get back.
Chris? No, it's me, Ty. Chris isn't here, Will. He's gone for the doctor.
Too late. Too late.
Don't talk like that.
Ty, don't let Chris get himself killed over me till it ain't worth it. Not me. Not the fences. Not the ranch. Can't fight.
Now just rest easy, Will. Chris will be back soon with the doctor.
No. You got to. Promise. Promise me you won't let him get killed.
I'll look after him, Will.
Your word?
You've got my word on it.
Bramlett's eyes were still open, but they stared sightlessly at the roof beams and began to grow glassy. Carefully, the young ranger closed Bramlett's eyes. Beaumont looked at his watch again. 3:15 in the morning, just in case anybody wanted to know later on. By the time the sun came up the next morning, Beaumont already had a grave half dug on a hill overlooking the cabin and the winding course of Blanket Creek. Kane still hadn't come back from Brownwood, and Beaumont was convinced by now that something had happened to him. Later, after he had buried Will Bramlett, he would have to saddle up his horse and ride the 14 or 15 miles to town so he could find out why Kane hadn't returned.
What in the world can this be?
Ty's your name, ain't it?
That's right. What can I do for you?
Where is Will Bramlett?
In the cabin. I was just over yonder digging his grave.
He's dead?
Yes, ma'am. I did everything I could for him, but he died a little after 3 this morning. You know about what happened?
Yeah, we know. Vern here was in Brownwood last night and heard about it. He brought the word to my place this morning, and we decided we'd better head into town. Picked up Simon along the way.
We wanted to check on Will first, though. I'm sorry we didn't get here before he passed on.
When we heard how bad he was shot, we Yeah, we knew he didn't have a chance.
Rawlings was haggard, as if he'd had a bad night. Probably hungover, Beaumont decided. Although the way he held his right arm so stiffly, it looked almost like he'd been hurt.
We'll help you finish up the burying. Then we got to get on to town and see about Kane.
What about Kane?
You ain't heard about that, have you? No, of course not. You've been out here with Bramlett all night. Well, Kane's been shot, too.
Shot? By who?
Skeet Harlan, Marshal Keever's deputy. Kane went into town to look for Doc Yantis.
I knew that.
And when he couldn't find Doc, he went to the marshal's office. I guess he thought maybe somebody there could tell him where Yantis was. Harlan already knew about that dust-up along the slash defense line last night, so he tried to arrest him. Kane didn't want to give up.
Rawlings shrugged and then winced. There was definitely something wrong with his right arm, Beaumont thought.
When Kane went for his gun, Harlan shot him 3 times.
Is he dead?
Nope. Shot up pretty bad, of course, but still breathing. When Doc got back to town from the slash D, he took a look at Kane and said he might live. Maybe.
What was the doctor doing at the slash D? A
couple of their men got hit when they were bushwhacked along Steps Creek.
You know all about that, do you, Ty?
Chris told me he and Will went down there to cut Dugan's fence. Then some of Dugan's riders jumped them and all hell broke loose. I never really got the straight of it. Chris didn't seem all that sure himself what had happened.
You weren't there?
No. If Chris and Will had somebody with them, it sure wasn't me.
The men looked at each other, clearly puzzled by something.
I'll ask around, Al. But as far as I know, everybody in our bunch was close to home last night. I don't know who could have bushwhacked those slash D boys.
Well, we'd better find out, because we'll damn sure get the blame for it.
Where's Kane now?
Locked up in the jailhouse. Doc said he could take care of him just as well there, and it'd be better not to move him.
What are they going to do with him if he recovers?
Probably string him up from the nearest tree. That's what those high and mighty bastards think of as justice. But it won't happen if we've got anything to say about it. You riding with us to town, Ty?
Yeah.
There wouldn't be any lynching. He would see to that, even if it meant revealing his identity as a ranger.
Let's get Bramlett in the ground, then. Time's a-wasting. I don't want to find that another friend of mine has died before I got there.
The hour was early, and not many people were stirring on Brownwood streets when Ace McElvey emerged from the palace and strolled around the downtown square. He hadn't been to bed yet. Well, not to sleep anyway, he thought with a faint smile, as he remembered the enjoyable time he'd spent with the blonde whore called Annie. And he was tired. Before he turned in and slept away most of the day, though, he had to check on some important business. He paused across the street from the marshal's office and waited for a few minutes, chewing on the cigar. The door of the office opened, and Skeet Harlan stepped out and stretched.
Well, good morning, Deputy Harlan.
Morning, Mr. McElvey.
Looks like another wonderful day, Deputy.
I guess.
The two men walked together quietly, and after a few minutes, they stopped in an alley behind a hardware store that wasn't open for business yet. No one else was in sight, and all the nearby windows were tightly closed.
I don't like this meeting in broad daylight.
There's no reason to be concerned. You're an officer of the law, and I'm an honest businessman. There's no reason why we shouldn't exchange a few pleasantries if we happen to run into each other.
Honest businessman. Now that's a good one.
Never mind that. Where's Kane?
Locked up in the county jail.
Is he gonna live?
Doc Yenta says he might.
Might be better if Kane was dead. That would just stir up Rawlings and the others that much more.
I hope he up and dies too. But I ain't going in there to make sure of it, if that's what you're getting at, McElvey. You got me in your pocket, and Keever's an idiot. But Sheriff Wilmot and his deputies are too damn honest to let something like that pass.
Well, we'll hope for the best. Or the worst, if you want to look at it from Kane's point of view.
I ain't looking at nothing from Kane's point of view. He was a damn fool to think he could buck Dugan and the other big dogs in the first place.
He might have been successful if not for all the hard feelings caused by the fence cutting. That was a good idea you had, Harlan.
Yeah, it wasn't all my doing. Once Flint and his boys cut a fence or two, Kane and the other little ranchers got the idea all right. All we had to do was prime the pump, and the trouble's been flowing ever since.
Yeah, and that ambush Flint pulled off last night on McDonald and the rest of those slash D riders will just throw more fuel on the fire. It'll soon be an all-out war.
Good thing you were able to get word to him in time to set it up.
Yeah, well, a lot of that was just pure luck, Deputy. I got a message to Flint Coburn, who was camped with his men on Pecan Bayou north of town. They trailed the Slash D Cowboys out of Brownwood towards the home ranch. It was our good fortune that McDonald and his companions had stumbled over Chris Kane and Will Bramlett trying to cut the Slash D fence.
Well, nobody will ever believe now that it wasn't some of them small ranchers who bushwhacked them cowboys.
Yes, everything seems to be going as planned. That makes me nervous. Something's bound to go wrong.
I can't see what that would be, McElvey. Both sides drink and gamble in your saloon, so you can keep a close eye on them.
That was true. McElvey was able to get vital information from Midge and Annie and the other calico cats who worked in the saloon without them even being aware of what he was doing.
Are you worried about Rawlings figuring things out?
Rawlings is nothing but a tool to get what I want. Now, his sister has a different story.
Yeah. She's some woman, all right.
Yes, she is, Deputy.
You know when the rest of the gunmen will be here?
Flint Coburn had about 15 men riding with him. 30 or 40 more were on their way down from Colorado and Wyoming. Veteran Colt men, hardened killers who had been summoned by the telegrams Coburn had sent them. Once they got here, McElvey would have a small army at his command, and it would be time for the big dust-up, the inevitable showdown.
Sometime in the next month, that's all I know.
This town won't know what hit it. Nobody around here is a match for what we'll throw at them.
We'd better get on about our business. If you do happen to get a chance to dispose of Chris Kane...
Don't worry. If I get the chance, he's a dead man. It might be better, though, if he lives.
How you figure that?
Then he could get strung up by a lynch mob. Think how Rawlings' bunch would take to that.
Why, Skeet, you have a positive genius for coming up with these things.
With the ease of a true frontiersman who knew he had to take his slumber where he could get it, Frank had gotten a good night's sleep in the Slash D bunkhouse. First, he'd had to spend some time talking to the cowboys, of course, as Dugan had warned him he would. They had all wanted to know what the famous Frank Morgan was doing in their neck of the woods. Frank had told them he was just passing through the area and needed some work. They didn't know that he probably had as much money as their boss and all the other big ranchers in Brown County put together.
You guys eat like this every morning?
Most days we do.
Dugan's Chinese cook and major domo, Wing, had the dining room table groaning under platters piled high with flapjacks, bacon, and thick slices of ham, as well as bowls full of scrambled eggs and fried potatoes. A full pot of coffee sat at each end of the table, along with a pitcher of buttermilk.
Wrap your gums around that, you worthless, bow-legged cowboys! When you get done, there's biscuits and honey!
Wing went around the table, seeing that the men had all they wanted to eat. He paused by Frank's chair.
That dog of yours is out by the cook shack, Mr. Morgan. I gave him a ham bone.
I'm much obliged for that.
Not a problem.
How are the two boys who got shot last night doing this morning?
Dave is sleeping soundly. He was awake a while ago. He's in some pain, of course, but seems to be doing about as well as can be expected. Peachy's asleep, too, but I'm sure he'll wake up soon. And then he'll insist he's all right and can do a regular day's work. I told Mr. Dugan he might have to hogtie Pitch to keep him off that wounded leg.
I wouldn't be surprised. You've been up all night, haven't you?
There'll be time for sleep later.
Frank nodded in understanding. A true Westerner did what had to be done, and he suspected that Wing fit that definition, no matter what the color of his skin.
Good morning, boys.
Morning, Mr. Dugan.
Morning.
Looks like we got an early morning visitor.
Better wait a minute, boss. Let me take a look first.
I don't hide behind nobody. Not even a fast gun like you, Morgan.
Frank admired Dugan's grit, but was right behind him anyway, just in case.
Morning, Earl.
You're out early, Sheriff.
I've got some news I thought you might like to know about.
You could have called me on the phone. We got a line strung out here now, you know.
I don't use that newfangled thingamabob unless I have to. I like to look at a man when I'm talking to him, especially if I've got something important to say.
Then I reckon this must be important.
It is, Earl. I've got Chris Kane locked up in my jail this morning.
That damn fence cutter!
I didn't lock him up on account of that, although I reckon I could have.
Then he's behind bars because it was some of his friends who bushwhacked four of my riders last night?
Nope. I don't know who was responsible for that.
Kane won't talk, eh?
Kane can't talk. He hadn't regained consciousness since Skeet Harlan shot him three times last night.
Frank had been lounging with his shoulder against the door jamb. He straightened at the mention of the deputy's name. Remembering the viciousness he had seen lurking in Harlan's watery eyes, He wasn't surprised to hear that the man had shot somebody.
Kane went for his gun first. At least that's the way Harlan tells it, and I don't have any reason not to believe him. If he did, it was a damned fool stunt, because he never had a chance against Harlan.
I'm surprised Kane's not dead.
He may be yet. Doc Yantis didn't know whether he'd make it or not. He didn't want to move, though, so we left Kane in jail. If he recovers, he'll go on trial for trying to kill Harlan. I can charge him with attempting to cut your fence, too, even though from what I hear, he never quite got around to it.
Damn right I want him charged. What about that ambush?
We'll have to wait and see if I can find out more about that. I just thought you might want to know about Kane, seeing as how he once rode for you and all.
I don't care about that now. Kane up and quit me. Whatever happens to him is his own lookout.
Fair enough. I'll be seeing you later, Earl.
Wait a minute, JC. You've ridden all the way out here. Why don't you come inside and have some breakfast? There's plenty of food, and Wing can put on another pot of coffee if he needs to.
Well, don't mind if I do.
And afterwards, I'll ride back into town with you. I want to have a look at Kane and maybe talk to him if he's come too. He'll tell me who was responsible for that ambush. I had two men wounded.
Well, I'm not sure it's a good idea letting you question my prisoners, Earl. I'm still the sheriff of Brown County, not you.
Well, I didn't mean to poke in where I'm not wanted. I just want to get to the bottom of this.
So do I.
The sheriff glanced at Frank.
New man?
Yeah. Meet Frank Morgan. Frank, this is Sheriff J.C. Wilmot.
Morgan, the one they call the Drifter?
That's right. I'm pleased to meet you, Sheriff.
You ain't aiming to cause trouble around here, are you, Morgan?
I never aim to cause trouble, Sheriff.
But you damn sure don't run away from it, neither.
When the good Lord made me, he didn't put a lot of backup in me.
But from what I hear, he sure stubbed his toe when he was putting in the gun speed and the sharp eye. You riding for the /D now, Morgan?
That's right.
Just what this county needed. One more stick of dynamite with a fuse just a-sputtering.
Simon Clark, the closest thing they had to a minister, said the necessary words over Will Bramlett's grave, and then Beaumont and Gladwell took turns shoveling the dirt back in. Beaumont had knocked together a crude coffin from some lumber in the barn before starting on the grave. The thudding of dirt clods on the coffin's wooden top was one of the most mournful sounds in the world, Beaumont thought.
I guess we're done here. We'll be headed to Brownwood now.
Let me saddle up. I want to go with you.
We don't have all day to...
We'll wait, Ty.
The sun was well up in the morning sky by the time they rode through Early, a little settlement a few miles east of Brownwood. A couple of men were lounging in front of the town's only store. They raised their hands in a signal for the riders to halt.
You look like you're fixing to cloud up and rain all over somebody, Al. Where are you headed?
We're going to Brown County Jail. Chris Kane was shot last night, and now they've got him locked up. We intend to make sure he's being treated right.
Yeah, we heard something about that. You want some company?
Sure, come along. The bigger group we have, the better. That way anybody will think twice about trying anything funny.
By this time, Beaumont had recognized the two men as Clay Harrell and Ben Mullins. They owned small spreads down toward Zephyr and were part of the informal group opposed to the big ranchers.
If there's gonna be a showdown, somebody needs to ride around the county and spread the word. I can do that.
Good idea. Tell everybody on our side to meet at the palace as soon as they can get into town. We'll go there after we've been to the jail to check on Kane. Let's get moving.
Beaumont didn't like what he had just heard. If all the small ranchers and farmers came into town and got together, they might decide to take Chris Kane out of jail. A rescue attempt would be just as illegal as a lynching. Surely even a hothead like Rawlings had more sense. A few minutes later, the riders came to the wooden bridge over Pecan Bayou. The road curved up ahead and led to the downtown area. Folks at houses and businesses along the way began to notice the riders as they passed. Beaumont heard excited shouts behind them. When he glanced over his shoulder, he saw people on horseback and in wagons following them.
This is starting to be quite a procession, Rawlins.
Well, if there's gonna be trouble, I guess these folks want to be on hand to witness it.
Several of Sheriff Wilmot's deputies were out in front of the sandstone building by the time the group of riders reached it. A couple of the lawmen had shotguns tucked under their arms.
I don't see Marshal Keever or Skeet Harlan.
It looks like Kane's been turned over to the sheriff's authority. The marshal wouldn't have any reason to be here. Where is Sheriff Wilmot?
Morning, boys. Ma'am, what can we do for y'all?
We want to see Chris Kane.
Kane's locked up.
We know that, damn it.
And he's been shot. He doesn't need to be disturbed. Better let him rest. You folks can come back later.
We'd like to see him now.
We want to be sure he's all right.
That's right. There's no telling what kind of treatment he's been getting here.
And nobody's been mistreating him, if that's what you're getting at, Rawlins. Doc Yannis patched him up last night, and the doc's been back to check on him this morning. Nobody could do any more than that for him.
There was no reason for Skeet Harlan to shoot him 3 times.
But you'll have to take that up with Skeet. From what I heard, Kane went for his gun first. So he doesn't have much room to complain about what happened.
Are you going to let us see Kane or not?
The lawman started to swing the barrels of the shotgun up toward Rawlins.
I told you, you can't go in there.
The other deputies were bringing their greeners to bear, too. And Rawlins, Clark, Gladwell, and Harrell were sliding their hands toward their guns. Callie had a gun belt strapped around her hips, too, and she closed her fingers around the butt of the Colt sticking up from the holster. Beaumont couldn't just stand by and let blood be spilled in the streets of Brownwood. He would have to speak up and tell everyone involved that he was a Texas Ranger.
Hold it!
Beaumont felt relief wash through him.
Let's calm down a little here, man.
Why? Because you showed up with your buddy Dugan and more of his guns?
Beaumont saw that Earl Dugan was just behind the sheriff. And riding beside Dugan was one of the last men Beaumont would have ever expected to see here. Frank Morgan.
What in blazes is going on here?
Frank felt the shock of recognition almost like a physical blow. One of the men confronting the deputies was Tyler Beaumont.
We want to see Chris Kane. Nobody, not even Dugan's hired gun back there, is going to stop us.
The law's going to stop you. I'll be damned if anybody tells me how to run my jail. And I say you and your friends ain't going in, Rawlins.
Frank kept his face expressionless and avoided eye contact with Beaumont as he reined in and sat there with Wilmot, Dugan, and Ed McDonald.
You afraid of what we'd see?
Easy, Al. We just want to see for ourselves that Chris is being taken care of, Sheriff.
Now I've seen everything. Callie Stratton is the voice of reason. Wonders ain't never gonna cease.
You have my word, Mrs. Stratton, that everything's being done for Kane that can be done. Tell you what, I'll allow you to go in and see him, but the rest of your bunch has to stay out here.
Now hold on there.
That sounds all right to me.
Me too, as long as Callie doesn't mind.
Sure, I can do that.
Frank watched Beaumont from the corner of his eye. The youngster was making a point of it not to stare at him now. It was pretty clear to Frank that Beaumont was working undercover. He wasn't wearing his silver 5-peso ranger badge, and he was sort of hanging back in the group led by Rawlins.
I want to see Kane too.
Wait just a minute! Sheriff, if you won't let Kane's friends in to see him, I don't think you should let his enemies in either.
That's a good point, Earl. I'll have to ask you to wait out here.
I ain't accustomed to being told where I can and can't go, JC.
Well, you better get used to it when it comes to this jail. I'm in charge here. Don't none of you forget it.
What he was going to be in charge of, Frank thought, was a whole mess of trouble if the lid ever came off the boiling cauldron that Brown County had turned into. For the moment, though, Dugan subsided with a grunt and a curt nod.
Well, I still want to know who is responsible for bushwhacking my men.
So do I. When Kane wakes up, I'll ask him.
With that, Wilmot ushered Callie into the jail, and the crowd in the street waited tensely for them to return. Some time had passed since Callie and Wilmot had entered the jail. Rawlins and Dugan did their best to glare holes in each other. The men with Rawlins didn't seem quite as hostile as he was, but it was clear that they didn't feel very friendly toward Dugan either. For his part, Frank remained impassive. Beside him, Ed McDonald was tense.
It could have been some of this bunch that bushwhacked us last night, Frank.
McDonald had spoken quietly to Frank, but not quietly enough so that Rawlins didn't overhear him.
That's a damn lie! We heard about what happened, but none of us were anywhere near the Slash D last night.
What about that fellow with you?
You mean Ty?
So that was the name he was using, Frank thought.
I've seen him around. He works for Kane and Bramlett, doesn't he? For that matter, where's Bramlett?
I can speak for myself. Yes, I ride for Kane and Bramlett. At least I did. Will Bramlett is dead. He was shot in that ambush you're so eager to blame on us. He died early this morning, and we buried him out on his spread. Now tell me, if any of our bunch was responsible for the ambush, why was Will shot? That just doesn't make sense.
He could have been hit by accident when your friends were trying to cut down my riders.
That's not the way it happened. Listen to me. When Chris brought Will back to the ranch last night, he told me he didn't have any idea who had started all the shooting. He thought it was just the Slash D riders.
It wasn't us. Some fellas threw down on us from the trees along the creek.
That's what I'm hearing now. But I tell you, Chris and Will didn't have anything to do with it.
And neither did any of the rest of us. How do we know your men ain't lying about the whole thing, Dugan?
I got two men with bullet holes in them, you damn fool. What do you think happened? They shot themselves?
Rawlings bristled and moved his hand closer to his gun. Everyone else followed suit. And once again, the street was locked in a tense tableau that might erupt into bloody violence at any second. The door of the jail opened before that could happen, and Callie Stratton came out, accompanied by Sheriff Wilmot. All eyes swung to them, breaking the potentially deadly tension.
I've seen Chris. As far as I can tell, everything possible is being done for him.
Is he still unconscious?
He is, and he looks terrible. I don't know if he's ever going to wake up again.
He shouldn't have tried to draw on Skeet Harlan. He got what was coming to him.
For a second, Frank thought Callie was going to flare up again, maybe even reach for the gun on her hip. But she suppressed her anger at Dugan's callous comment.
Let's go, Al. There's nothing we can do here.
Yeah, I guess not.
Frank, Dugan, and McDonald sat their horses where they were, forcing the other delegation to go around them. As Beaumont rode past Frank with only a few feet between them, he turned a cold-eyed gaze on the drifter. Frank hoped that was just a pose. He hoped that Beaumont didn't really hate him as much as he seemed to.